Amen. Remind me what book we're in. Revelation, who's it belong to? Oh, no. I quit. I'm going home. Well, let me tell you this. It does not belong to John the Revelator. That's exactly right, Brother Dave. Who wrote it? God, what did He do with it? God the Father gave it to God the Son. That's right. What did He do with it? Gave it to the angel. What did the angel do with it? Gave it to John. What did John do with it? He gave it to us. That's right. How many themes? Two? Give me one of them. We're going to adore His person. What's the other theme? We're going to accept His plan. Right here it is, and I accept it. I like the way He did it. I messed it up. I like His plan. I want to go with His plan. I accept the plan. I do. What chapter are we in? 18 is correct. Last week we was on 17. Chapter 17 is about the one world religion. Chapter 18 is going to be about the one world government. Now, again, there for about 3 weeks, about half of Sunday school was the gospel thing. And we tried to make it as exciting as we could. We were talking about the song of the Lamb, and the singers really helped us. But I hate to tell you, but we're on judgment now. That's why I wore a black tie. Things is bad. I mean, you're going to have to listen on purpose. Have to listen on purpose. And last week, one thing I said, talking about this one world religion, I was talking about how a lot of people really get thrilled and excited when you talk about everybody getting together. And I said, if we do that, what Bible, what book we going to use? But I also should have said, if we do that, who we going to worship? If we all get together, we're going to worship Allah? Or we going to worship Mary? Or are we going to worship Jehovah? Who are we going to worship? See, that getting together, that's not all it's cracked up to be. So, I don't know that the Lord's in all that. Matter of fact, most of the time I'm pretty sure He's not. Okay, chapter 18 is the one world government. Now let's get started there. Dear Lord, again, I ask You to help us now and help the preacher. And thank You for answered prayers for Brother Charlie and all the answered prayers around here in every pew. God, I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 18:1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power. And the earth was lightened with His glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. On our Thursday night class, we saw pictures of where Babylon was, and they described a little better, and you could see where the demons lived and stuff like that. But now let's look at this bird here, this hateful bird. There's 16 species of vultures. They seldom attack anything healthy. They kill the weak and the wounded and the sick. Let me just go ahead and say, let me apply that to us. You know, if you get out, talk about out of church, out of sorts, you know it's hard to get back in. You know, if you miss one time, if I miss one time, it'd be harder for me to come back. I know sometimes going to church is a habit, but all habits aren't bad. Sometimes I come for the right reason. Sometimes I come so you can see my new black necktie. Sometimes I come for the wrong reason. But I still think coming out of habit or duty is better than not coming. I still get help. I recommend coming for the right reason to worship, Sister Pat. I recommend that, but I have come out of duty, and I have come because I was supposed to. But let me say this. Not eating makes you weak. Brother Charlie hadn't eaten much for 17 days. It'll make you weak. It doesn't matter if it's a good reason. It doesn't matter if you couldn't that you was in the hospital. It doesn't matter why you don't eat, you get weak. And there's vultures waiting to prey on you. Not eating makes you weak, even if you have a good reason. These vultures, like when a carcass is too thick for them, they'll, like an elephant carcass, let's say, they'll wait until a larger scavenger comes and breaks it open for them. These vultures, there's a vast number on this battlefield we're going to read about on through here in 18 and 19. They gorge themselves and sit sleepily to digest. Talking about vultures. They do not carry food to their young in their claws. They disgorge. Sorry, ladies. Now, a raven is one type of vulture. You spot a raven because they're twice as big as a crow. Ravens feed on food, remains, and garbage and dead bodies. They imitate other birds and humans. Ravens are more intelligent than a crow. They can get through a maze to the food, to the reward that a crow cannot and other vultures cannot. They use other animals to do their work for them. Like a raven may put out a rabbit call so a wolf will come and crack open that elephant carcass. Ravens play pranks on wolves and cubs. A raven has been recorded like to push snow off the roof of Kroger's onto people. And they can identify people. They can tell the difference between me and Brother Carl. And they might push the snow off on me. They may have a grudge against me. Ravens do that. They can distinguish between and identify certain people. They're associated with mischief and darkness and death. In Sweden, ravens are associated with ghosts and murdered persons. And if you remember, Edgar Allan Poe wrote a poem about a raven, and it was associated with death and darkness. And I don't know if it has anything to do with it, but Poe only lived to be 40 years old. Chapter 18 now. Chapter 18 is about the one world government. It's the destruction of economic Babylon, political Babylon, commercial Babylon, material Babylon. Last week was religious spiritual Babylon. World history began at Babylon, the Tower of Babel, and it'll end at Babylon. Babylon is Satan's headquarters, just as Jerusalem was God's headquarters. One person asked a Jew why the Arabs had so many oil wells, and he said, "We got the Bible." Verse 1, we already read it. It's about destruction, or why the destruction, or who's going to destroy. "After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory." Verse 2 shows it's the habitation of demons and false doctrines. "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird." Verse 3, "The kings and the merchants worship at her silver shrine, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacy." Verse 4, "And I heard another voice from heaven." Now this is the voice, the very voice of the Son of God. This is the Lord Jesus talking here. "And he said, come out from her, my people." See, his people are still there. God, we determined recently, God has more than one flock. Baptists aren't the only ones. Israel's going. They're going in. And then during his tribulation time, he has another flock. He can have more than one fold and one flock. This is, God's people are still here, and he's called them out. See, I need to repent often and confess regular. I need to agree with God that what I did was sin. I need to keep short accounts with God. We talked about it in the hall this morning. I don't need to cover up. Cover-ups won't be forgiven. Jeremiah 51, 5 and 6. Here's a picture of another fold. Not the church. Not the church. Jeremiah 51, 5 and 6, which we'll get to it here in a little bit. But chapter 51 is your homework. There's like 64 verses. Or else I could read it to you right now. No. Isaiah 51, 5 and 6 is what I'm looking for. For Israel hath not been forsaken, nor Judah of his God, of the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. Flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. This is not the church, but this is God's people. His people are going to be around to the end. To the end. Verse 5, Revelation 18, 5. This is God destroys economic Babylon, for her sins have reached to heaven. Verse 5. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. 6. It's a double reward. Double her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. We're saved by grace, but we're judged by works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill her double. This is poetic justice. You see it in Obadiah verse 15. You get a glimpse of it. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. That's probably what's going to happen to Brother Rick too. Let's look at Psalm 137. This is not exactly talking about the tribulation period, but another time similar. Maybe the first time Babylon was destroyed. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they had carried us away captive. They that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. We're talking about judgment. We're talking about the last days. Back to Revelation 18:7. She lived in sinful pleasure and luxury, and her prosperity blinded her to judgment. Verse 7. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Woe. Verse 8, therefore shall her plagues come in one day. See, you can lose the whole farm in one day. You can lose the whole farm in one day. In one day. Verse 8, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. God destroys economic Babylon before the sun goes down. In one day. Who's going to attend the funeral? Heaven's not going to. Heaven's rejoicing. There's two opposite crowds here. There's joy in heaven. We've been praying for and preaching against the world. Babylon's another picture of the world, just like Egypt is. We've been praying for and preaching against it. The prophets predicted it would be destroyed, and now it happens. Verse 9. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come." See, it can happen in 1 hour. It really doesn't take all day. The telephone might ring. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise anymore. The kings and the merchants, they loved her. They weep over economic Babylon. Their income's gone. They hate religious Babylon. But they weep for her. In 1 hour is thy judgment come. Starting in verse 12. Now in 16, we're going to see alas, alas. We already saw. That's a wail. That's woe is me, starting in verse 12. The merchandise of gold and silver, it's why the world's crying, and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manners of vessel and ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and the souls of men. Souls is what she's interested in. It's what the devil's interested in. By the way, in the versions, we're always called slaves. The real Bible calls us servants. But here it's the souls of men. Verse 14, and the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, "Alas, alas, woe is me, woe is that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls." List of 28 of the world's most expensive luxury items. What's named right here, and they're all going to be gone, and they're going to be gone in 1 hour. In 1 hour. 17 and 18. For in 1 hour, before the sun goes down, so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What city is likened to this great city?" The sailors, they weep over her. And Babylon made luxuries appear to be necessities. And us Americans have swallowed that too. Let me just ask you, let's take a real life survey. A lot of times I say don't raise your hand, but this time I want you to raise your hand. How many prefer a shower over a tub? Shower people. That's me. I love a shower. Okay, how about the tub? How many like a tub? Oh, I knew some of the ladies would. Yeah, soak. Get in there and soak. Yeah. Well, let me remind you that both are luxuries. See, I was about 5 or 10 years old when we got an inside restroom. And I remember, we carried water a long time after that. We had a well, but the water wasn't any good. You couldn't drink it. And we carried drinking water for years. And sometimes the well would go dry, and we carried water in a 275-gallon kerosene tank like you'd see outside. We'd put that thing on a trailer and carried regular water, bath water, that way. We've got a lot of luxuries. Most of what we think are necessities are luxuries, most of them. When ceramic tubs first came to America, the doctor said it's unhealthy. Should take a bath once a week. Now, some still do that. And they might be right. Maybe that's why we're so unhealthy. I don't know. That's what they said. How's Brother Rick view the luxuries of this world? What if my necessities suddenly went up in smoke? What if it's gone? Could I make it? What would I do? Verse 19. We're talking about judgment. It's in 1 hour. Swift. Here's the reaction to the 1 hour of destruction. Verse 19. And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping, wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate." And starting in verse 20, here's the source of her destruction. "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her." He did what he said he was going to do. Remember, he's always said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." Well, he's doing it right now. He's doing it. Heaven's rejoicing. There's no funeral in heaven. No funeral in heaven. Verse 21, "And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers," that's those that play harps, that's not those that complain, "and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. No craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee." No more gospel sings. No more gospel music. No more rock and roll. No more jazz. No more bluegrass. No more classical. No music. Music's our joy. I don't care what kind you like, that's your joy. Pumps up your joy. No more family life. No more social life. It's all negative, but there's a great big positive. This is the dawning of the Lord's Day. Now, sometimes the tribulation is called the Lord's Day, but He's getting ready to come back and start the millennium, 1,000 years here on the earth with us, 1,000-year honeymoon. This is the dawning of the day, of that day of the Lord. That's going to be in chapter 20. We're not there yet. 23, verse 23, here's some reasons for her destruction. "The light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. The voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For thy sorceries were thy nations." By thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Remember, sorceries, the root word is like pharmakia, where we get our word pharmacy. Drugs, dope, sorcery. And it's all covered by the blood of the prophets and the saints. Verse 24. "And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that were slain upon the earth." There's 260 references to Babylon in the Old Testament. She was thought to be indestructible. She was 15 miles square on each side. 250 watchtowers. The wall was 350 foot high, 87 foot thick. 6 chariots could run abreast around the top of the wall. They had a large moat from the Euphrates River that fed it and kept the enemies out. Hanging gardens, one of the 7 wonders of the world, worth $1 billion then, back then in the Old Testament. Let's read about her destruction the first time. Daniel 5. Daniel 5, 20, starting in 24. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. And that says that twice. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art, I'm sure I'm not saying those right. Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given unto the Medes and the Persians. It was a literal city. It was destroyed the first time. It's going to be destroyed again. Just for all of us' benefit, yesterday I Googled it. And I said, what about modern Babylon? And here's what I got. Google says modern-day Babylon equals Iraq. And Iraq was built or rebuilt by Saddam Hussein in the 1980s. And Google says Iraq is coming back to life with its famed Istar Gate. Now, I didn't look that up to see what that is. But anyway, this is an article from March the 24th, 2022. And it's coming back to life with the aid, with $3 million worth of aid donated from the U.S. Embassy. We know this is going to happen in chapter 18 because Babylon was never destroyed suddenly before, not in one day. The first time we just read about it was gradual. God predicted it and it happened. But it never happened in one day. Let's look at that in Isaiah 13. The way the Lord said it's going to happen this last time. Isaiah 13:19. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Fire and brimstone from heaven, one day, 1 hour, boom. That's how it's going to happen the next time. Again, homeworks, Jeremiah 51. There's only 64 verses, won't take you very long. It describes Revelation 18, really. Then Isaiah 13:6, we see it would be destroyed during the Lord's day, during the tribulation. How ye for the day of the Lord. Remember, that's another name for tribulation. Is at hand, it shall come as a destruction from the capital A Almighty. And then Isaiah 14:1-4 is Israel will enter into God's rest after Babylon is destroyed. That didn't happen the first time. It's going to happen the next time when it happens in one day. Isaiah 14. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in his own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaidens. And they shall take them captive, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased. The Lord says it's going to be in one day. Jeremiah says Babylon will drink the last cup of the wrath of God. And Revelation 18, like all the rest of Revelation, is best understood if you take it literal. Dear Heavenly Father,